The real me. The future's eyes are wide shut. A beautiful winter's day in the city by the bay. Sun shining on the water, birds singing while flying, well, sitting on the bridge, sitting there and watching her with their beady little eyes that were beady and focused and watching, and a cheerful voice from her speaker said, I am at home with the me. I am rooted in the me that is on this adventure. I am at home with the me. I am rooted in the me that is on this adventure, repeated Anya. She let her foot off the brake and moved her car forward one car length. Also, technically, the sun wasn't really shining down on the city by the bay. The sun shone down on the city to her right. The sun shone down on the city to her left. The sun shone down on Oakland behind her. She wondered if there were oaks there. It just didn't look like it. Just buildings and signs and giant skeletal machines, which looked like something out of the second Star Wars movie. Ready and able to crush the rebellion. But yeah, the sun. For whatever reason, although it was a warm and beautiful day on the east side of the bay, a wall of fog stamped on giant Cat-Noir demon's feet across San Francisco and was now preparing to devour the bridge and all the helpless people on it. Every now and again, Anya could see a high-rise struggling out from behind a fog tentacle, unwilling to be rustled back down under the bright white light nothing. She'd been on the bridge for 40 minutes and had driven 40 feet. Up ahead, she could see a cheery yellow sign pointing left, a series of cones gradually eviscerating her lane. Typical. She had her turn signal on, but there was nowhere to go. Just typical. Now visualize yourself breathing, said the happy, happy voice, and say, this is me breathing. This is me breathing, said Anya, edging forward. Some adventure. Interlude, before we've begun. Anya was not having a good day. She was hot and sticky from driving all day from Sunnydale to San Francisco. She'd been listening to self-help tapes, and all she felt like was if she'd been listening to really boring self-help tapes all day. But that'd been okay at 90 miles an hour. But now she was hot and sticky and bored and cold all at the same time, because you couldn't even see the sun through the really thick fog, thick as jelly brains, only thicker and ickier and a whole lot colder and wetter. And she'd been driving around San Francisco for hours, and all the streets were one way, and they didn't make any sense. And the guy in the gas station, he didn't speak any English, and she had to buy a map for $7.50, and his bathroom didn't look like it had been cleaned since she'd been human the first time, and she couldn't look at the map and drive at the same time, and she'd ripped the map, and she was frustrated, really, really frustrated. It didn't seem fair that finding yourself should be so hard and take so much time, and it's stupid, and this city was stupid, and no one would ever let her change lanes, and why are there streets and avenues with numbers and the names, and why is there so much fog? Look, the hotel. Anya maneuvered her car into the parking lot and shimmied into a tiny space. Please don't scratch. Carefully opened her door and slid sideways. Pulled out her nice little wheelie suitcase. Screech, screech, into the hotel. The nice man at the counter, whose name was, Kastrapala Gupta Kanyash, call me Guppy, checked her in and gave her a free parking pass and told her where the Getting to Know You dinner for the Achieving Synergy by Actualizing the Real You seminar was being held. Anya wanted a shower and a fruity drink with both alcohol and a small festival umbrella, in that order. So she went to her room. Anya looked up upon the bathroom, of which she was the sole user and professor, and saw that it was good, plus hot water, which Anya felt was also good. After an excessive wallow, she went and changed into something that went with this week's hair and put on a little sticker that said, Hello, my name is Anya. Although she really wasn't sure if she should keep that name or change it again to suit the new her, whoever that was. She looked into the mirror and practiced smiling. Hello, my name is Anya Emmanuel Jenkins. I own a magic shop, except my ex-fiancé's best friend destroyed it. But at least she didn't destroy the whole world. Bright smile, head bob. She took a breath, cracked her spine, and smiled at the mirror again. Hi, I'm Anya Jenkins. I was born on the 4th of July, except I made that up. And I made up the Jenkins part, too. She sighed and stopped smiling. My name is Anyanka, and 4 years ago I'd have pulled your intestines out through your nostrils if some woman had cried angrily enough, and I said, I wish. Nice to meet you. What do you do? She put on some lipstick and went to get to know some strangers. Getting to know the really real you. There was assigned seating. Assigned seating is good. It has structure. There was a choice of chicken fiesta or vegetarian delight. This was not good. The chicken was festive. The vegetables were not delightful, but hi, my name is Bob, a young computer something or something, entertained their tables by speculating the chicken was in fact alligator tail, which only tasted like chicken. The conversation went from there. Anya did briefly manage to stop the flow when she suggested that the chicken was the flesh of a saponaceous Soroya demon, but then she smiled and everyone laughed. One of her books said it suggested smiling when you weren't sure of the lay of the land, and it was working pretty well for Anya. She had several alcoholic yet fruity drinks, including one with a miniature plastic sword through a piece of pineapple, which she used as a prop in an amusing anecdote about the Decemberist Revolution, and progressively everyone got wittier and wittier and became best friends. "Hi, my name is Bob," was declared to be, in fact, everyone's uncle, and then Anya went to bed. There were no girls or giggles or fights. She brushed her teeth in peace. "Hi, sweetie." Anya glanced to the right. Hi. Haley was Pete, perched on the vast countertop next to the complimentary shampoo. Ever the fidget, Haley jumped down and walked around Anya, who was watching non-Haley in the mirror. "You don't look so good." The room had been kind of spinning even before the first evil showed up. "And now, I think I'm going to throw up. If I projective vomit, will go away you," said Anya. "You never could hold your alcohol, kind of like your men." She smiled and twitched her dress. "Why, I remember when you and Dracula broke up. Well, really, it was mostly you mooning over him, as if a big name like that would ever give you the time of day." Anya sat down on the wonderful cold linoleum. The room was spinning so white. And if she ever... So she sat very, very still. Then her stomach wouldn't know it existed, except for the incarnation of supreme evil sitting on her toilet and the slight nausea she felt... The floor was cold on the bottom of her leg. She had goosebumps. The first evil leaned forward and snapped her fingers. "Hey, honey, pay attention. If it wasn't for you and your little in the soft serve attitude, I'd be alive right now." She burst into heatless flames. Anya jumped back and regretted it. She hit her head on the countertop. "Ow, you made my head my head, and you're not my friend." Anya began to laugh and cry at the same time, which sort of resolved itself into a big hiccup. "You're the first evil in a Haley suit. Sweetheart, it doesn't work that way. I'm a part of her." Her burnt face smiled and blacked and creased. "A really big burn for your spineless whining part. Do you think DeHoffren is ever going to stop sending little reminders? Not enough to really kill you, just enough to keep you lashed onto a group of people who could hardly stand you, barely tolerate you?" She leaned forward on her throne. "They don't know you like I do." Anya closed one eye to see if that would affect the spin factor. Then she tried the other eye. First evil jumping back and forth via perspective. It was not a good idea. Hot tears traced down her cheeks, rough laughter spasming your chest, fiery hiccups jerking your lungs. "How can you know the really real me? I don't know the really real me." "Well, sweetie, that's because there is no really real you. You're nothing but a whim in an Anya suit. Anyanka, odd little thing, planting cockle shells in your little garden because no one will play with little Miss Contrary." She crouched down next to Anya, close enough to touch, more burning laughter, shake the nausea and stir. Still talking, taunting, burnt, first evil, but I'll play. I'll let the anger fill you once. You weren't empty then. It gave you a name and a burning garden to play in. You were someone. Then you had power, then... Anya pushed herself to her feet and waved her hand through the first evil. "I'm going to pass out now. See you later." Anya dragged slow steps the long westward old woman way to the soft spinning bed. Anya sort of jumped, fell into the bed cloud, and closed her eyes. Some man was saying something about some vengeance something. "I'm not listening. I'm really drunk, and those were really tasty drinks, and I'll feel guilty later when the room isn't so busy, okay? Okay." Anya snuggled into her pillow and ignored the first evil until it went away. Enlightenment. Light glowing under the burgundy curtains. Anya opened one eye. No Haley. Vengeance victim, vengeance wisher, Buffy, potential, no one. Just a room. She levered herself standing and looked in the mirror. Made sure there were no dead people in the bathroom. Told herself she was a nice person, that everyone liked her, and that her only responsibility was to be the most really real me that she could be. And that this was incredibly stupid, and that she'd better leave this seminar fully and utterly enlightenment, or she was going to ask for her money back. The first session was in a large beige room decorated with paintings of blue and purple splotches of paint. They did not look like bruises. They were probably artistic, but Anya couldn't see it. She just never understood what she was looking at, and she was tired of always having to ask for an explanation, and her head hurt. And she was fairly certain she was having a bad hair day. But she only asked questions if she didn't understand. And it wasn't like she actually said all the things that went through her head. And even if it seemed like it didn't, she didn't. And it had always been like that, and people were always laughing, and they never explained, no matter how much she acquired, it never worked. And Anya was sure that General Buffy were here. She'd look at the paintings and know what they meant. And Anya had thought that if she finally figured out one thing, except she hadn't, and these were really ugly paintings, and she was going to sit down now. Anya sat down in an empty chair toward the front because she wanted to get her money's worth. Self-actualization was hard work, and the air conditioner in the back of the room was freezing. There was a vaguely familiar blonde woman sitting on her left. She was wearing this purple and turquoise velvet drippy gown thing with really romantic sleeves, and a black velvet corset top that was very, very tight. This woman was clearly not human. Her breasts were not heaving up, which is this natural result when you wear a device that prevents your chest from heaving out. Probably a vampire. A really familiar vampire. "Excuse me," said Anya. "I know you. Who are you?" "Oh, my God," said the woman. "Anya, it's Harmony. I went to school with you in Sunnydale. We had algebra and English, I think. We were both friends with Cordelia. You wished me a nice summer if I survived the ascension in my yearbook. And I do know you. You broke my arm." Or was it one of your minions? "I don't remember. I don't care. You broke my arm. I don't think I like you." "Oh." Harmony began to cry. "I suck. I tried to kill Cordelia, too, and she was actually my friend. Except I even suck at sucking. Even my own minions tried to kill me." Harmony began to sniffle. The room was filling with people. People who were looking at them. Normally when this happened, Anya was the one drawing attention. She patted Harmony on her shoulder. "There, there. There, there. So why are you here?" Harmony bounced in her seat. "Oh, I love Dr. Alden. He's incredible. I've been to this session 6 times, and I feel so much better and more in control of my own life." 6 times, huh? "I would have hoped that these prices for faster results. But isn't this daylight? Not that that ever stops Spike." "Oh, don't you ever mention his name. I am so over Spike. I have this new guy in my life, Raistlin, and he's cute. Well, cuter, but he hasn't tried to stake me. And he's really smart, and he's really been helping me understand the whole undead thing." Harmony shook her head wisely, sadly, and knowingly, causing the ankh on her black velvet choker to dance around. "Raistlin says that we are the tragically driven by our cursed natures to stand alone, looking out longingly from the megropolis of the city of the dead at the eternally swimming tides of humanity as they sweep. It sucks, but in a totally cool, popular way. Necropolis. What? It's a necropolis. The city of the dead thing. I don't know what a magrobo is." Anya rolled her eyes, winced at the pain, and stopped. "And what kind of lame, evil creature of the night are you?" asked Anya. "It's 9 in the morning. Not a very good one." Harmony sighed. "Was it a bad one?" Her brow wrinkled. "I get so confused sometimes." Anya said, "I know what you mean." They looked around at the room's fascinating purple, blue, beige color scheme. Did the I have nothing to say head bobble? "Oh," said Anya, remembering point 6 and making small talk work for you. "I like your top. It makes your waist look very small." And, Anya gestured with her hands, "your breasts appealingly large." "You think so?" Harmony looked down her side. "You don't think it makes my butt look too big?" "No, your butt is appealingly big, in contrast to your tiny waist and large breasts. It's a very nice outfit, and your sleeves are very appeasingly floppy and poetic." "Thanks, that's so sweet." They smiled at one another and then glanced around the room some more. Fortunately, since Anya could not remember points 1 through 5 or point 7 of how to make small talk, Dr. Altman walked up to the podium. For the next 2 hours, Anya learned about the Pyramid of Change, 4 steps for avoiding scripting and anti-scripting, and the 6 methods for leveraging her potentiality. Then there was a break. The attendees disgorged from the hotel into a plaza area theatrically overlooking the ocean. Anya had seen pictures, which was fortunate because there was no ocean, only fog and wave sounds. There was a faint glowy spot where the sun theoretically should be. Harmony quickly smoked a clove cigarette, which apparently Raistlin found to be far more acceptable than actual cigarettes. After the break, Dr. Altman said more stuff. Anya doodled a wreath of flowers and implements of self-actualization on the side of her handouts. This was remarkably like school, except that she'd come out here of her own free will, although school hadn't had visio slides that made swishy noises. She hoped actually going to a seminar would make sense than the stack of self-actualization books that she'd been acquiring. Ah, lunch. Anya chose the empowering 3-cheese lasagna, symbolic, no doubt, of the Pyramid of Change, while Harmony had a shake because of her dietary restrictions, i.e. she was watching her weight. This corset was custom-fitted at this little place in the city. There was gossip of Spike. "He got what? Xander, he did what? Willow, twash, he did what? Buffy, okay, what? And Dawn, huh." And after lunch, there were exercises. There was this one where Anya learned trust by falling backwards into the arms of her partner, in this case, Harmony. Oh yeah, feeling the trust. A role-playing exercise. Harmony cried and got in touch with her feminine side. Anya wondered if it was too late to go back to vengeance. During the turning bears into bunnies session on transforming curdles into cuddles, Anya discovered an urgent need to go over there now. Would someone spring bunnies on a person like that? And she paid for this. Then they paid to play telephone. Apparently, if Hi, my name is Ganji Red Makara Xerox, and other stuff that Anya was too busy writing notes to Harmony to notice. When the day was done, everyone stood up and told each other that they were okay. So not much has happened, has it? I'm not going to a rave with you, said Anya. I like your dress, but you're evil. You'll eat me, and I don't want to be eaten. Although it would be nice to leave the hotel. She took a sip from her apple martini. It didn't taste like apples, although she was sure she liked it. However, it was a very attractive green, which, as she had learned today, was a positive color. There's nothing to do on this end of town. It's all damp and I'm bored. Harmony twisted a strand of hair around a finger. Anyway, I couldn't possibly kill a friend. I'm a creature of passion. Raceland says that I'm a natural Toreador, because I'm so artistic. He's more of a Tremere, because he's into magic and he knows stuff. Anya snorted and grabbed a calamari appetizer. Mmm, lime sauce. And leaned back in her person-devouring lounge chair. Where was that waiter? Maybe a cranberry martini would be better. I've never heard of those kinds of vampires. I just thought there were vampires, except the prehistoric ones that we're dealing with now in Sunnydale. What do they look like? Said Harmony, eager to display her vast occult knowledge. Oh, you know, bumpy, ugly, very grr, rip your throat out, scream helplessly, that sort of thing. Anya savored the taste of lime, reluctant to wash it away with not apple. Oh, Nosfarto. Yeah, Raceland says they're very bad. Very, very bad. Harmony sipped her margarita, nibbled a bit of salt, and looked around the room. Hi, my name is Bob. I was sitting at the bar and was halfway through something brown with ice. He noticed Anya and gave her a little nod and smiled. Harmony looked at Anya with a white flash of grin. Hey, Anya, that guy at the bar, he's checking you out. He's kind of cute. Invite him over. No, it'll just end in a tragedy and entrails. I'm going to stay here in this overpriced hotel bar and drink great quantities of alcohol because I'm too lame to ever actually self-actualize. Harmony leaned forward. You're not lame. You're very cool. You know all sorts of things about demons, way more than me and maybe even Raceland. And even though you're really old, you don't look it, not even around your eyes. Now invite the cute guy over here. Anya smiled and had a sip of her green drink for courage, if not taste. Thank you, Harmony. You know, despite your utter vociousness, you can be really nice sometimes. Well, thanks. You're so sweet. Harmony played with her throat onk. Now invite the guy over. Anya glanced over at the bar and made a little wave at Bob, who promptly picked up his drink and sauntered over. Hey, Uncle Bob. Anya made sure she was giving Bob her best, biggest smile. This is Harmony. We went to high school together. She's also attending the seminar. Nice to meet you. Bob smiled, also obviously attempting his best, brightest smile. Like me smile. So what do you think of the lecture today? He sat down in an empty lounge chair and promptly had to right himself due to the extreme soft, devouring chairness. There was a pause. Harmony gestured in an extremely unsubtle manner that Anya should say something now. It was unsatisfactory, said Anya. I had read all the books, and I was hoping that an in-person meeting would make more sense and guide me towards a more leveraged and actualized me. Anya forgot she was supposed to be smiling with all the inner you and rolled her eyes a bit and snorted. Snorted in front of an attractive guy. Bob laughed. I know what you mean. These things can be a bit granola and buzzword. I guess the important thing is to get you thinking. Get some guidelines, you know? Not like an actual map or anything. Harmony gave Anya an extreme subtle thumbs up. Anyways, Bob, maybe you're not the local, you know, group help type. Maybe you're more the 40 days in the desert type. You know, eat locusts and honey and get all wise and enlightened. He did a vague finger wave in the air, the emptiness of the sublime thing. I did that once in college. Just went out in the Mojave and just watched the moonrise. It was incredible. Plus, I saw wild burros. I should shut up now so the pretty woman can talk. I want to see wild burros, said Anya. She leaned forward. Well, there you go. Bob danced his fingers a bit on the little table. There was a lot of little bit in the air. Anya smiled and then broke eye contact, sipped, and then drank some more of a drink. Froze, and then a horrible thought crept into her brain. She glanced up at Bob and then back down again, drank a big gulp of drink. Terrible thought remained. Then a horrible, horrible truth. Scripting. It existed. Dark hair, dark eyes, funny, talks too much, does the crinkly smile thing sympathetic now, sure. So, said Harmony, Anya and I were thinking of going to this rave. Want to come? Harmony! Anya waved her hands back and forth. Ixnay on me! Oh, I suck at Big Latin. I thought we already discussed this. Not going. Oh, but I thought you were just worried about two girls going by themselves to some dark spot. Now that Bob's here, it'll be okay. Harmony wound, unwound, rewound a strand of hair around her index finger. Come on, it'll be fun. There'll be dancing and other alcohol, and I'll only eat strangers, really. Come on. Said Bob with extreme helpfulness, glancing from Anya to Harmony, Harmony to Anya, and being a guy, Harmony's velvet corset and the flesh there constrained, he glanced up. No, I don't want to go. In fact, I think we should go to bed. Anya made a vague sign of the cross at Harmony. Said Bob, So did I get my wires crossed here? Because I could just go. Yes, said Anya. What? Said Harmony, the veritable portrait of confused predation. Yes, said Anya. You've correctly deduced the situation. We are indeed sapphic fellow travelers, journeying together on the road to self-actual and mutual fulfillment. Come on, honey. I've got an Indigo Girls CD cranked up in the room. Anya glared at Harmony. Huh? Said Harmony. What are you talking about? Harmony smiled at Bob. She's just, air quotes, shy. She was like this in high school, too. Plus, her fiancé just dumped her at the altar, and she needs to go out and have some fun, dancing, at a rave. Okay, said Bob. Hey, said Anya. So, Bob waved his hands. Anya, do you want to go out and forget a bit? I'm pretty familiar with the city. Yes, at a rave, said Harmony. Harmony, you one-track imbecile. I can't even believe that I gossiped with you. I'm sorry, Bob, but Harmony's a vampire. Anya glared some more at Harmony. There's no such thing as a toreador. She looked back at Bob. Believe this story. Believe in me. She just wants to suck all you dry of all your blood and discard your lifeless corpse to rot in some deserted alley. Trust me, I know her type. Back served to Harmony. And they're Turrican, not nose farts. Idiot. Okay, then, said Bob. I think I'm going to go back to the bar now. Anya, you just met this guy, and he seems kind of like Xander, so it's perfect. Come on, don't you want me to express the real me and reach my full potential? Oh, I think you've reached the fullest potential of a dimwit. Harmony scowled. That's not very nice. Her face rippled into ridges. Her eyes deepened into popcorn butter yellow. You are so on my kill list now. Oh, please. Anya reached into her purse and pulled out a mister and gave it a little squeeze. Harmony gave a satisfying sizzle. I was a demon for over 1,000 years. I eviscerated twits like you for breakfast, which I now feel bad about, but not enough to let you eat me or Bob here. Now shoot. Harmony growled in a girlish, cross-eyed kind of way. Anya hit Harmony with another spritz and pulled a steak out of her purse. I've got more where this came from. You're so mean. Harmony ran for the door and paused for dramatic effect. And they're all going to die, you know. I'm connected to a great and powerful evil, and it's going to do evil stuff to you. And you're going to totally regret being mean to me. Oh, get a job, you large-bottomed leech on society, said Anya, brandishing the stake with a random sort of way. Oh, said Harmony, who turned to head out the door, missed it by a foot, because two margaritas with three shots of Pete's will do that to your coordination. Slammed into the doorframe, took out a chunk, and sobbing, poor lost demon girl fled from the room. Anya shook her head. Vampires. No work ethic. Well, that calls for a drink. Bob stared at her in a frozen, way. Yes, definitely a drink. The waiter, who had been about to ask if they wanted more drinks, also stood by, frozen in indefinite guh. So which of these oddly named drinks contains the largest quantity of alcoholic beverages, said Anya. The Long Island iced tea. Did her face get all bumpy, said the waiter. Was she burning? What is that, acid, said Bob. No, that's not fruity enough. And no, holy water, said Anya. See, she gave her face a spritz, both refreshing and sanctifying. I sold tons of these at the Magic Box. Not really useful against a determined vampire, but, well, a great bargain at $6.99. So do you have anything that tastes like punch, but with lots of alcohol? The Long Beach iced tea tastes a bit like punch and will knock you on your... Did her eyes change color? Yeah, I'll have one of those. Do you want one too, said Bob? Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Bob sat back down, this time taking full advantage of the soft padding of his chair. Three Long Island, Long Beach iced teas it is, then. Grande, said the waiter, who wandered back to the bar, glanced at Anya, and began to mix some very large drinks. Hooray for America, land of the supersized. Anya pondered a bit, and then took a drink from Harmony's margarita. Well, Harmony wasn't going to need it. Gratuitous dream sequence. White slabs of concrete arranged in a crawling line stretched across the green prairie grass. Anya was a knight. She knew that because of the yellow fuzzy blankie tied around her neck. Andrew was her squire. He didn't have a blankie. She had a sword that was swishy and shiny and a cardboard shield shaped like a heart. Not an actual heart, but the representation of a heart, and it was decorated with 7 concentric bands of pink and red. And then she was a child sitting on white carpet, coloring the bands with a stubby felt marker, careful back and forth, and didn't go over the lines. And then she was a knight again, and her name was written on the back of a shield in black block letters, and the shield was strapped to her forearm. Andrew was holding her helmet in cardboard greaves that had been spray-painted silver with her logo, a medallion of mighty morphin magical vengeance, far sinister. She looked at the grass, which was short and thick and lush and very, very green, and full of holes. It was very, very important that they walk in the absolute center of the sidewalk, or white arms, like in that Time Machine movie, would reach out from the holes and try and grab them. Anya knew that if they got her, they would drag her under the grass and devour her, even her bones, so she cut them with her swishy, shiny sword, and their blood stood out thick on their arms and on the white concrete. And then she was flying over the grass, running, slashing and cutting and running faster than they could grab, practically flying, falling forward. She was the wind, and they couldn't touch her. She was the fire, and she burned them, and she was a nightmare on a quest for a tree, a spreading tree in the middle of all that grass. She climbed the tree, and it was tall and smooth and leafy and safe. She pulled off one of the leaves. It was wide and long and covered in white down. She ate it, because this was the tree of knowledge. The leaf tasted like leather and ink and sweat. And she knew how to read the monolith, like the one in 2001, which was next to the tree, and it would explain everything, absolutely everything. And then she woke up and was very, very pissed. So she put on a silky robe and made demanding calls to room service that she would later regret and pay for if the world was not destroyed. On the road again. It was a terrible, horrible day in the city by the bay. If you could see the bay, you could barely see the seagulls huddled on the bridge. "Going slowly," sang the chorus. "Yeah, slowly." Anya moved her foot off the brake and inched forward. "If I ever get to move." Then she saw the dreaded sign of changing lanes, this time to the right. Great. She sat there for a moment with her turn signal on. "Oh, this is stupid. We're all going 3 miles an hour. And not waiting for the next car to give way, she started moving into the right line, and magically, because Anya knew her magic, and there was room. And then she passed the wrecked car that was blocking traffic, and traffic was kind of sort of moving. And she went through a tunnel, and there was no fog on the other side, just a bright, sunny day and industrial buildings in the distance. And she made it all the way up to 30 miles an hour. Yay! She started to sing her favorite musical book song, "Why Go Nowhere Slowly When You Can Go Nowhere Fast?" And did her groove while driving thing. She put on her sunglasses with the sparkles. "Maybe today won't suck." "I wouldn't count on it," said the first evil. "Oh, shut up," and singing, "Godspeed, Godspeed, I'm going Godspeed." Anya drove past the Port of Oakland monsters and into the day.